So thank you very much for being here with me. This is Emra, and the first of our You Matter coaching series, and this is week one. Please know that you matter immensely and for eternity. And I want to thank you for being part of this beta group. I believe you will learn, hopefully, some new things, that you will be inspired, that you will gain an additional prayer partner, that we will grow, and that you will have accountability in the process. I will be asking you for and appreciate your feedback as we move through the lessons. I want to be aware of your time, and we'll move quickly through some aspects that I've added as fundamental proof that what I'm going to share with you actually works. So I just want to have a quick minute of prayer. Thank you so much, Father, for these moments together. Thank you for these incredible women. I really pray that you step into each of our lives, that we can hear what you have to say to us, and that we can move forward to be more and live more in the purpose that you have designed us for. And I thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen.
Amen.
To experience life fully, with deep peace and joy, and not that everyday happiness, I think that's sometimes elusive and not really to be sought after as a deep peace and joy. We really need to be conscious and knowledgeable of our deepest inner workings, who we are, and who we are in God. We need to see his constant work in us. We need to be aware of our surroundings and the impact that that has on us. So really being fully present every day. And it's actually a skill to live that way. We need to rejoice in those glorious moments and understand the times that challenge us, that leave us feeling depleted. And I'm hoping that we can see everything we go through a different lens, merely than just a specific experience that we're going through. We can either choose to grow or be destroyed by our experiences or stories in life. And they often define us, and if understood and worked through, they can refine us, revealing the treasure that we actually are becoming and that God designed us to be. Through many experiences in my life, my sustaining power has no doubt come from my relationship and belief in God and his incredible grip on me. Without question, I know that there are five life skills, which are tools God helped me define and develop to strengthen me through some of the toughest times. Honestly, if I had understood them earlier and practiced them more consistently, I know I would have made wiser decisions and caused less pain to others and myself. So these are the tools we're going to infuse into these 6 weeks that we are going to be together. I believe that each of us is designed to live an empowered life, attaining not only surface dreams, but those that we haven't even yet dreamed of. The Bible says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him," in 1 Corinthians 2:9. So I really pray that you will own this and this belief in God who is at work within you. And so we're going to unpack what's seen and what's unseen. I'm so super excited about it. Okay, so I'd like you to take a writing minute. And for those of you that will listen in the morning, and if you're walking or driving or something, kind of pencil it even visually in the air, but take a minute at some point to write it down. And those of you that are here now, I want you to write the very first word that comes to mind with these three questions. How do you feel right now? Don't think about it. What popped into your head straight away? Do you feel tired, excited, anxious? What words immediately come to mind? Write those down. Secondly, what emotions did you experience today? Again, instantly, what pops up? Think quickly through your day. What emotions were there? Were you elated? Were you annoyed? Were you frustrated? Were you happy? Do you have sad moments? And if you're listening to this in the morning, yesterday, think briefly about yesterday. And the third question I'd like you to answer is, what mental place are you in your life right now? first thing. Are you fearful, expectant, angry, relaxed, hopeful? What comes to mind instantly? Our feelings really portray our thoughts. So I want to share with you one fundamental concept. Hopefully most weeks I'm going to share some fundamental concepts that just prove from various scientific neuroscience point of view that it's real, what I'm going to share with you in a minute. So one of the fundamental concepts of impacting your thoughts is the neurons where the thoughts actually are stored make up approximately 15% of your brain cells. The rest is made up of little cells called glial cells. These little cells interact with the neurons, control them, and work alongside them, and they have a myriad of functions, some which are communication between the thought networks and helping to send information between distant parts of the brain, which helps us master and speed up our cognitive processing and thought building. They are master networkers linking thoughts at a very high speed. The attitude of one thought will very quickly impact other thoughts through the action of these nifty little glial cells. So what do we do about this? And here's the key. We need to gather awareness of what we are thinking about all the time and never let a thought float through your mind unchecked. By disciplining your thoughts, we discipline that viral spread of negativity in our minds. And the Bible is back up to this scientific fact. In 2 Corinthians, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So old scriptural concepts that the mind can change, the mind can be renewed. It's fascinating as we dig a little deeper into this. We're going to expand on it gradually. Let's overview these five essential skills. We're going to do one every week, starting tonight with the first one. So here's the five skills you need as you live God's story through your daily life. They're practical, that result in that deep inner happiness and peace. They're undergirded, and it's really critical, and I'm going to speak about this at the end again, by time spent in prayer, contemplation, and building a solid relationship with God. So number one, don't complain. Take responsibility for your life and make wise choices that lie within your core values, your spiritual gifts, your needs, and your wants. Next week, we're going to unpack those. It doesn't mean that you pretend nothing's happening to you. It does mean that you pause, you take note, you decide, and then am I going to change or am I not? And if you, either way, don't complain about the choice you make. Look for creative ways to live powerfully in it. Neuroscience and quantum physics show us that we get what we focus on, not what we want. Focus aligns the energy field of the brain to direct our attention and effort. And we're going to look at that again when we look at goal setting. If you are bent on complaining, the very thing you complain about engulfs you, creating a reality you wish wasn't so. You're going to see how very tightly linked each of these essential skills are and how the one ends up impacting the other. So our second skill is, and I'm just briefly giving you them in a nutshell, and then again we're going to unpack each one every week and see how it applies to your life. I'm going to give you homework in what do you do in that aspect in your life. So the second powerful skill is to affirm yourself and learn to see your strengths and how God created you and be thankful. Again, next week we're going to work on that. Affirmations are stories that revise your mind's software and support the brain's rewiring. So we just spoke a little about how our brains are packaged together, and these affirmations becomes part of this process of changing your thinking. God's word says that for as he thinks within himself, so he is. in Proverbs. And Romans tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds to take every thought captive. We need to do all the work that's needed with God's help. We're going to be honest. We're going to refocus. And we're going to really step into being who he created us to be. And then when you have those affirmations, you turn them into thanksgiving and praise. And there's a whole nother aspect that happens in your brain when you give thanks. It's incredibly powerful. The third thing we're going to look at is choosing a healthy lifestyle by taking care of your physical, your body. It's the only vehicle you have, and it will either deplete you or it will energize you. A healthy lifestyle encompasses mental, emotion, spiritual, every part of your being. And the first two skills impact these profoundly, and then it can impact the physical state of your being. Fourthly, you need to understand your God-given purpose, your call, and how do you bring your dreams to God? How do you understand that he may have even planted them in your life and how long ago? And then the seeds, you'll start seeing the threads and the seeds and how everything we have experienced becomes part of this of who we are and our purpose. Allow him to give you assignments, and then you turn those into goals and actions. Again, it's work, right? I believe that you need to be unattached to your timeline and open to unexpected twists and turns. Now, we do have timelines. We do have monthly, quarterly, yearly goals, but you just never know how God maneuvers in them. And how can you be flexible enough and trust enough? And that's the joy of this journey, when you know he's actually in control and that he has planned things for you you could never even have designed for yourself. And then the fifth thing we're going to look at is to practice the art of giving and how attached that is to forgiving. Give to yourself and to God so that your giving to others will be appropriate, allowing it to be for a lifetime. And again, there's so many times they're missing in our lives, and then we have great consequences from that. Another foundational concept I want to share with you, the Bible's view of us is spirit, soul, and body, separate but intimately integrated entities. We read this in Genesis 2 verse 7, God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. Matthew 26 says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Two distinct parts of our body again. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless as at the coming of our Lord. So spirit, soul, and body. And Hebrews 4, for the word of the Lord is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates in dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Just a little biblical view of how we're put together. Now, looking at neuroscience, psychology, psychiatry, and quantum physics, the brain continually changes in response to mental and sensory signals throughout the human life of our whole time span. This process is called neuroplasticity. Science has proved that we continue to produce neurons in certain areas of our brain constantly, and this process is known as neurogenesis. The growing medical specialties in psycho, neuroimmunology, etc., are bringing to light the intimate relationship between the mind, the brain, and the immune and endocrine systems. That's why our health has such a great impact on us as well, and all of our pieces are together, right? They impact each other. Remarkably, the eye-opening science of epigenetics is showing how our choices can profoundly influence not just our own genes and those that we are in relationship with, but multiple generations to our descendants. So there's a whole lot of research papers that all of that came from, and if you ever want it, I can give that to you. Another core piece I want to talk about briefly, and again, this is just a little bit of substance as we dig in a minute. is the formation of long-term memory. As we form long-term memory, the structure of the brain changes, right down to the cellular, molecular, and even the level of quantum physics. The reason it takes about 63 days to form a habit is because habit depends on long-term memories, which go through the process to be fully established. It takes time for the cellular and molecular structures to be fully formed. So some of the things we're going to speak of in these weeks that we're heading into, we're going to touch on, we're going to taste, you're going to start the process. But again, it's a process. It'll take time for your brain to reprogram. And the exciting part is it can. Don't say, oh, I hope I do. It, and we're going to work on your wording as we go through all of this time together as well. Again, every word you speak, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. I get too excited because we're going to talk about that in a minute. So as we learn, our nerve cells, which are our neurons, fire and release little neurotransmitters in the small gaps, the synapses, between them and other neurons, which cause them to fire. These neurotransmitters relay the electrical impulses from one neuron to the next across the synapse. As we continue to learn, this connection, our synapses, get stronger chemically and structurally, making it easier for the impulse to be relayed and therefore nerve networks to be established. This is how we develop short-term memory. However, research is showing that memory is not just shown in strengthened synapses, but by intracellular changes in our little microtubes, which form the brain of the cell. In fact, the little microtubule network in the dendrites have been likened to little mini computers. It's crazy what happens in our brains. And fascinating when you really start digging into it deeply. And again, we have control. Typically, we live that we let our thoughts control us, but in reality, we can control them. It's a very specific process. As long-term memory is fully established in our brains, our thoughts become automatized into habits. So this whole process that we just listened to has got to do with new habits that we're going to generate. And within this, the power of God and scripture and prayer has a phenomenal impact. We're going to look at that in a little bit as well. So let's dive then right into our first life-changing skill, which we're going to speak about tonight. Don't whine, win. Do not complain, but take responsibility and choose what is right for you. Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it will eat the fruit of it. There are powerful consequences for everyday living if you hear the words of this proverb. You will reap what you sow. Your words will affect those around you and yourself. You literally impact your daily life as you act, set yourself up for failure or success through your thoughts, which become your words and actions. So Proverbs 23 says, for as a person thinks in his heart, so are they. So it goes both ways. If you think and then say positive words, you're going to have a positive outcome. It's as simple as that. If you think and say negative words, you're going to create a negative environment. And you can do it by talking badly about others, or our most powerful part we do is we talk that way to ourselves. Oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, I could never do that. Oh, that's so hard. Well, yep, right there. You are just, if we believe all that neuroscience has just proved to us, you are telling your brain is making a little charge and a little neural pathway, and the one little tiny dot connects and tells all the others, and before you know it, you are just going to act exactly that way. It's powerful stuff. Be careful what comes out of our mouths. And what do we think about? So let's look at this in package of complaining. We're going to look at this as well when we speak about dreams and when we speak about affirmations. It is a core part of rewiring how we think. So if you complain, you reinforce the negative experience. As you hold these thoughts and words in your heart, Your days will become filled with misery. Honestly, you will assume a victim mentality and you lose your personal power. You are literally wiring your brain with each thought and establishing behavior and the life that you live. Equally so, you can't bury the things that trouble you. Pretend they're not there. Those toxins will accumulate and they have serious consequences of their own. So instead of complaining, you got to be honest and ask God to reveal to you what's hidden in your heart. We can be very blinded ourselves to what goes on within us. So powerful. Ask God, show me. Show me what's going on here. It is really a relationship. It's a communication. It is not a condemnation. I'm going to speak about that before we close again today. Share your aggravations, your hatred, your hurt, your pain, and everything that troubles you with God. He knows anyway. Say it out loud. I hate this. I feel this. That's the one we're going to say this stuff to. And then there's the whole process of forgive me for that hatred. Forgive me for not letting go, for not thinking more of who you made me to be. And immediately we thank him for forgiveness. Immediately you start the rewiring of that negativity within you. And that's, I believe, where healing is found. That's a whole nother process to discuss. So you listen and get to the root of what troubles you. If you start letting the little threads just go out, believe me, God will take one out and there'll be will be a constant unthreading. And as you pull one out, there's room for him to pour a little more of himself and make you more the woman that he has designed you to be. It's often hard to make sense of it all, to see resolution and move forward. You can't always do it alone. Well, that's why we have coaches. You have a pastor, you have a counselor, you have a prayer warrior. You have someone in your life that can really be there for you and hear you and walk alongside you through it. 1 Peter 1 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action, be sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Christ. Remembering hope is what you can't see. So you're looking for what you can't see, and you're believing in that. You cannot stay in a place of blaming others for your environment or for your complexities. I believe most of us have some point in our lives when we do that. And if you find you're still in such a place over certain people, that's the time to press, really press into prayer. Press into a prayer partner to help you speak through that anger, those emotions that you feel, because God has to heal us from that. They literally freeze us and stop us from moving forward, but they're real. A best friend can hurt you. And so you need to be able to, if you find you're struggling to move through those processes, get someone. I'm here for you. Pray through it. Let God remove that from you. Because at the very end of the day, we're adults, you have to take full responsibility for every action that you make. And it's literally your choice how you respond. So you can choose change or acceptance of the situation you're in, and then you deal with the consequences either way. And then no complaining. Make a choice after you contemplate the experience and the outcome, understand why you chose it and the reasons that you did, and find creative ways to move forward in it. Now, you may catch yourself falling into your pattern of complaining the first day, the first week. Don't get discouraged. Just start all over again. Remember, it takes time to form the new habit, to reprogram those neurons in your brain, but you absolutely can. It's merely, complaining is just a habit. It is a habit. And if you've been complaining for, a super long time, it's going to take you a little longer. But don't get discouraged in this journey, because it's really a destructive habit. It does not make life better. It steals your joy and makes peace an elusive experience. I love what Maya Angelou said, and it's in my book. What you're supposed to do when you don't like a thing is change it. If you can't change it, change the way you think about it. Don't complain. So here is your homework for this week. Number one, please become aware of your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions. Jot them down. Maybe you'll just have a little pocketbook with you or the little app on your phone. And if you're in the day and you go, super angry now, just write down, super angry. Or, man, I was excited. And then take a minute at night, just reflect on your day. If you didn't jot it down, try and capture again. This is real. You're not pretending to anybody. You're not good or bad. We're all good. We just want to get better. So it's not just what happened in the day. I want you to know how you reacted. What were your feelings? What are your lingering thoughts now? And then you need to write it down. There's incredible power when we write. So, and then look at your day and see, did you complain? Or you may jot down in your book, croc, I just complained. It's an awareness you need to get. It's really easy when you're walking alongside someone who helps you catch it. It's not always so easy on your own, but try. Ask God, say to him, let me notice what's going on. Let me notice how I'm reacting to things. Let me notice when I'm complaining. And then slowly you start reprogramming, and then you start catching yourself. And I catch myself because you don't want to utter anything negative out of your mouth. It literally takes energy from greater accomplishments. If I step out the door, I can go, ugh, it's hot today. What's the point? I've already placed myself with a disposition of ugh, instead of walking out and looking, oh, look, there's a red bird in the tree. Wow, I'm 10 minutes early. Twist your brain to be thinking of and looking for, noticing with all your five senses, beautiful smells, sights, sounds. Avail yourself to beautiful tastes, and we're going to talk a lot about this when we speak about healthy living. And just start. And it's perfectly okay that you are going to find, man, I fuss a lot. Don't get negative about that. Just go, wow, I'm so glad I can notice this now. Because the minute you notice it, you can change it. If you don't know what's going on, you're not going to make any change. And not complaining is a foundation to treating yourself better, to treating others better, to stepping powerfully into your goals and not only looking at the negative, but looking at the positive. So it's a skill in life we can master and we need to master. So secondly, so that you're jotting down your feelings and thoughts and emotions and you're jotting down complaining, then the second thing is that aspect of changing your thought. Say a positive statement. So if I walk outside and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's hot today. I need to, oh my, I just fussed about that, didn't I? How can I change that? Say, okay, I'm sure thankful. Not really sitting in the middle of a fire. Change it to something else. Immediately recondition. You may be with somebody that annoys you. And the longer you focus on the thing that annoys you, you will walk away grumpy yourself. So how can I change my thinking? It's an exercise consciously in that moment. And sometimes just thinking about it starts you having a different attitude about it. Thirdly, and the powerful undergirding of this, ask God to work in your thinking. Ask him to show you and ask him to highlight for you what's going on every day in there. And a really important, I mentioned it in Romans 8, we hear it, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is not about feeling bad about who you are and condemning yourself. Oh, I'm just a failure. Exactly. Stop that conversation. That's a fuss. You're complaining about you. Stop complaining about you. We may actually master not complaining about the weather or things we normally complain about. The deep challenge becomes not complaining about who we are. And it's really sometimes seems very insignificant. But remember what we said in our scripture before, what is in your heart will come out of your mouth. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So I think back on one of my default phrases in my life used to be, if I did something wrong, I'd go, I'm so stupid. My eldest daughter caught me on that over and over again. She said, Mom, stop saying that. You are not stupid. And I'm like, but I was in that moment. She says, Mom, you are not stupid. You need to stop that. And the more I started thinking about it, again, what I'm thinking is who I am. So I'm literally reinforcing my neural pathways to do that stupid thing every time, because I'm telling myself, basically, you can't do that right. You fail at that. And that is not okay. We can master anything we choose. And there are a million stories in the world that show that are proof to that, right? And you both understand some of the stories in my book. I'll be sending one of them in an email this week as well. Just the story of a woman that did or didn't complain and what happened in her story, but what happened when God stepped into it and the incredible change that occurred in that. So ask him to show you. This is not, I'm going to listen once a week, maybe good stuff, and then we go away. I want you to work on this week. Like really hard. Ask God to show you, because it's the foundation for the success steps that lie ahead. And let me just give you another foundational concept here, and that is the power of prayer. How does prayer affect the brain? Philippians 4:7 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So prayer keeps our hearts and our minds in Christ. And if we really believe that that is where our core of inspiration, guidance, wisdom, and then change is facilitated in that space with God. It has been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. This type of prayer seems to increase activity in the brain areas associated with social interaction, compassion, and sensitivity to others. It also increases frontal lobe activity as focus and intentionality increase, as well as changing the brain. Another study implies that intentional prayer can even change physical matter. And researchers found that intentional thoughts for 30 seconds are affected by laser lights, the laser light that they test with. So even though toxic thoughts can cause brain damage, prayer can reverse that damage and cause the brain and body to thrive. That's powerful stuff. And there is some research connected to that, and I have that if you wanted to research it further. So truly, I just want to recap. Your homework for this week is to really come before the Lord and say, hey, can you please unpack what's going on with me? Let me be aware, so here it is, of thoughts and feelings and emotions that I have. And when don't dig into necessarily the next steps. We're going to go through this in a 6-week period. So let it build for you. Just use this entrance focus. We can go into deeper things. If you discover deeper things, make a note of them in your journal. And we can have a one-on-one call and we can work through those. But I want you to just be aware of those basic things that are going to pop up every day, write them down, and then catch yourself when you complain. How often do you complain? What do you complain about? Just journal them. And we're going to work with them as we go along. And then try and change that complaint to a positive as we go.